And amen, amen. Who's the man this morning? Why don't you take a second, say hello to someone next to you, ask him what they brushed their teeth with this morning. What'd you brush teeth with? What kind? How many of y'all do not remember what you brush your teeth with? I mean, you don't remember the name of the toothpaste. Okay. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. Anyway, let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Leviticus 23. We are going through Leviticus, third book of the Bible. Leviticus is the laws pertaining to the Levitical priest. Levi was the son of Jacob. Son of Isaac, son of Abraham. Amen? We all know that. One day there was a teacher in a school who challenged his class to come up with an idea that was designed to change the world. He says, I want you guys to think way beyond your family, your neighborhood, your block, the school. I want you to come up with an idea that would transform the whole world. So these little kids are like, you know, the world? Like the billions of people? And they go, yeah, just come up with an idea that can change the whole world. So these kids went home, started thinking, and he said, no limits, no boundaries, you can't fail, no idea is a bad idea. Just dream really big. And one little kid came with this very simple, profound idea. He says, what we should do is all go find one person and do something very kind for that person, and instead of them paying you back, they need to pay it forward. It's the movie called Pay It Forward. And so once they receive something good, instead of turning around and saying thank you, they can say thank you, but they have to take that good deed and go pay it forward to somebody else, and then go challenge them to go pay it forward with somebody else. And before you know it, you have the whole planet covered with people doing good deeds for people they don't know. When you read the Old Testament, today we're going to read Leviticus 23, God's going to tell Moses to tell the Israelites that there are seven feasts they're supposed to celebrate, seven holidays. And these holidays are not only symbolic of things that have happened in the past, they're also symbolic of things God's going to do in the future. See, when you have a birthday, what do you go? Happy birthday to you, blah, blah. How old are you? I'm 21. And then you say, and many more. Thank you for the birthdays I had, but also the birthdays I want to have. Amen? Christmas morning, you unwrap your gifts, go crazy. And an hour after you unwrap your gifts, what are you doing? You're counting 364 more days, 363 more days. Amen? You look into the future. Well, what happened was God wrote the Old Testament. Remember, the Old Testament was a what to the New Testament? Everyone say foundation. Because it does what to Jesus? Points to Jesus. So what God was doing is saying, listen, I'm going to give you these things because I want you to remember what I did. But I also want you to understand what I'm going to do. When you read the Old Testament, you need to ask yourself, what does it say about Old Testament Jewish history? But what does it say about Jesus' life? Ask that question, and you will be fascinated at what you learn about the Bible. We're going to look at seven today. Seven. Now, seven is a number of divine, spiritual completeness, perfection. It comes from the word Sheva, which is where we get the word Shabbat or Sabbath. Rest. God created the earth in 6 days. On the seventh day, He completed His work and rested. So seven is a number of spiritual completeness. So we're going to see seven feasts, and they all are associated with the number seven. They're either on the seventh day or a multiple of seven, the 14th day, we're going to see the first one, or they last 7 days long, or one lasts seven times 7 days, or three or four of them are in the seventh month. So seven's all over that. If you read the book of Revelation, seven is all through the book of Revelation. So seven, if you like numbers, God uses numbers in amazing ways throughout the whole Bible. Matter of fact, in a few weeks, we're going to go through the book of Numbers, which is the next book. And we're going to see, if you don't like Numbers, you might as well just don't come to church. Because it's all about Numbers. The whole book is called Numbers, okay? But you'll love Numbers at the end of that series because you're going to love it. Anyway, look at number one in your notes. Number one, Jesus, our Passover lamb, died for our sin. First holiday we're going to see is Passover. Let's look what it says in verse 4 of chapter 23 of the book of Leviticus, third book of the Bible. It says, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the appointed times. On the 14th day, everyone say 14. 14 is 2 times 7, is 7 compounded twice. 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Now, in Exodus, they talk all about the Passover and what it means. But it simply said, when the Jews were in Egypt, remember the book of Exodus? What's the book where the Jews were delivered from Egypt?
Exodus.
What's the book where the Jews were delivered from Egypt?
Exodus.
And who's the guy who delivered them?
Moses.
And what was his brother?
Aaron.
When they were delivered from Egypt, they were enslaved by Pharaoh. And God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh kept saying, no, yes, no, yes, no. I changed my mind. So God threw 9 plagues on them. Frogs, lice, darkness, blood in the rivers. And it was just horror. And Pharaoh was hard-headed. So God says, I'm going to throw my 10th plague. 10th is the number of ordinal perfection. In other words, when you reach 10, you reach all the digits. 0 to 1 to 0 to 10. He says, I'm gonna throw 10 plagues on you. And the 10th plague is the angel of death is going to go through and kill the firstborn of every family who doesn't have the blood of the lamb on the door. Say blood of the lamb. Now, if you remember, without what shed, there is no forgiveness of sins. All through the Bible, from the third book, third chapter, Genesis 3, through all through Exodus, Leviticus, all through the Old Testament, unless you shed blood. Why was God teaching that? Because Jesus Christ would come and shed his blood. God said, I want you to take the blood of a lamb, put it on the door, and when the angel of death comes, if you have the blood of a lamb on your door, a lamb without blemish, 1 year old, take it in your house on the 10th day, bond and love it for 4 days, then kill it, put it on the door, and the angel of death will pass over your house and you will not have a death in your family. Don't you know that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let me read it to you. Very simply, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. When John the Baptist saw Jesus in John chapter 1, he says, behold, the Lamb of God. In Revelation, he is called a lamb that was slain. Christ is our lamb. So when the Jews were enslaved and God had Pharaoh have a hard heart, he says, now take the lamb, and the blood of the lamb is going to save you not only from the angel of death, but the blood of the lamb is going to deliver you from bondage. That's what Jesus does for us. So what God was doing was setting the Jews up, setting us up. Why is this important? No, because when you read in the Bible, the New Testament, all these things about Jesus, they have foundation thousands of years before. Jesus didn't make it up. Paul didn't make it up. It was already established long before. Thousands of years before Christ was born, God established these principles as from God, as here's how I deal with my people. Here are the principles upon which salvation and a relationship with me is based. And then Christ comes and says, here's what they really mean. So number one is the Passover. Number two, your notes. Number two, Jesus removes the impurity of leaven in our hearts. Jesus removes the impurity of leaven in our hearts. Impurity or leaven. Leaven was an impurity you put in the bread like yeast. Look what it says in verse 6. On the 15th day, everyone say 15. The same month is the feast of unleavened bread. Say unleavened bread.
Unleavened bread.
7 days. There's that seven. You must eat unleavened bread. The first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no work. Then you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation, no customary work. What happened was, when they had the Passover, they would eat their last meal on Passover standing up. Because they had to flee So one's like, hey, the angel of death's coming. He's going to kill some folks. We're just going to sit back. And no. Get ready to leave. So we had to eat it, dressed, packed. And they have a Passover meal called a Seder dinner. They have a dinner where they eat unleavened bread, these little crackers with no yeast. It's flat. Because when you get a loaf of bread, there's yeast in it. That's what makes it goes puff. Take the yeast out. It's pita bread. Am I lying? If I'm lying, I'm flying. I'm telling you the truth. And so he said, take the yeast out. Take the artificial impurity out of your heart. Let me read something to you. 1 Corinthians, the verse right before what I just read. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast. Get rid of the old yeast in your heart. I was eating breakfast. My son and I were eating breakfast the other day. He's 17 years old. I said, Miles, if God wanted to change one thing in your life and get it out of your life, what would it be? And he goes, yeah. That's how he talks. He's 17. He hasn't figured out the human language, English, yet. So I go, what would, just name one thing. So because I understand caveman, I knew what he was saying. We were driving down the street, and there was this beautiful sunset going up 15. And, he had a little camera phone. He goes, and he's trying to take a picture. And because my wife also understands caveman, she was understanding what he was saying. But what he was saying was, I don't know, you tell me. If there was one area in your life that God wanted to change, what would it be? I'm going to an ophthalmologist. It's an eye doctor. Because we think we're going to try to train my lenses to focus so I don't have to wear glasses. It's because I don't want to get surgery. I just want to do it natural. Just like you work out your arms, you can work out your eye. You really can't, by the way. Because when you focus, the muscles in your eye bend your lens. And when you get older, your lens gets hard. It can't focus. That's why you need glasses. So you could kind of train them, like do eye push-ups, literally. Don't be laughing, okay? I'm trying to be serious. It's a very sensitive area of my life. So I go and say, can you help me with my eyes? He says, I don't know. We have to, see what kind of condition your eyes are in. And he tells me something I never knew. He says, you've been farsighted your whole life. I never knew it. I said, well, how is it that I can see? He says, your eyes have been working on it, but now that your eyes are getting more brittle, they won't bend, and that's why you need glasses. So it's going to be limited. It might be how far you can fix it. I'm like, nah, I'm gonna do push-ups all day with my eyes. But all my life, I thought I could see. Do you know that if you have no idea what you can't see about your own heart? You think, wow, what would God, my life, what yeast? I'm pretty good. I've been a Christian for 2 weeks. What's the problem? I read my Bible last Easter. I'm a godly guy. I'm a godly woman. What could God possibly want to change in me? I am perfect in all forms. Some of y'all may think that. You are blind. You don't even know it. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our hearts want to be evil. We like to hear gossip. We want to make more money than everybody who does our job. We want to believe we're the best. We do. We may not all want all those things, but you know what I'm talking about. Our heart is like, it's evil. Matter of fact, our heart's so evil that it tells us our evil is not evil. It justifies. Let me take a poll. How many of y'all will honestly, just be honest for this 1 minute. How many of you will be honest and say that you have justified something wrong in the last 24 hours? Oh, look at all the lies. Come on. You're like, okay, well, I don't want to raise my hand. Let's try that one more time. Ray, way up. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. And the rest of y'all who can, just lying. Yeah, I ain't do that in the last hour. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm not that bad. You just did. You just lied and justified it. Ask God to show you supernaturally you Take out the leaven. So Jesus Christ is our Passover. He's going to deliver you. Now he wants you to walk holy with him. Number three, and you notice. Christ as our first fruit is a deposit on our resurrection. Look at verse 9. This is my favorite one. Verse 9. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say, whenever you come into the land in which I give you, reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. Now, let's see how much you remember. Moses had a brother named
Aaron.
And who were the priests? Aaron's. That's who those people are. Very simple. You got it. When you come into your land, the very first harvest, you take an amount of sheaf and you wave it to God, which means, God, we acknowledge that you are the giver of this food, and we acknowledge that there is more to come. We acknowledge that this is only the beginning. Are you with me? Say it's the beginning. Okay, it's first fruits. It's the first of what is to come. Okay, look what it says, when this is supposed to happen. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave the sheaf. Now, the Sabbath is Saturday. Everyone say Saturday?
Saturday.
What's the day next day?
Sunday.
Sunday. Why did Jews have a holiday on Sunday? God was setting them up. He goes, I want you on a Sunday morning to take the first fruits of your harvest and acknowledge that I am God. And on a Sunday morning, I want you to acknowledge there's more to come. And this holiday don't have a date. Don't have a date. It's whenever you have the harvest. You ever notice that? Well, you know, do you know why we're here on Sunday morning? The only reason we're here on Sunday morning is because this is the Sunday morning is when Jesus rose from the dead. That's why we worship on Sunday morning, because Jesus rose from the dead. So we do it out of remembrance of that. Kind of church tradition. Okay? You could do it on Monday if you want. You could do it on Wednesday if you want. You have a church. No magic. That's why we do it. You ever notice that as this day, and this could be just a coincidence, my opinion means, and I'm sure you'll have that on your refrigerator, my opinion don't mean nothing. See, that's wickedness in your own heart. Wickedness. This holiday has no specific date. It's when you have the harvest, and on Sunday morning, I want you to acknowledge your first fruits. Do you know the Bible says Jesus Christ is the first fruits of our resurrection? Let me read it to you. I gave you the address in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:20. It says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, that Christ himself is symbolic of all the other people who will be resurrected. That's not my opinion. That's in the Word. And it's kind of interesting how Christ's resurrection, Easter, has no date. It changes around. You ever notice that? When I was a little kid, my birthday is March 30th, and Easter was on my birthday at least once, if not two times. I remember that. And every year I'm like, man, I want to go back to when Easter's on my birthday. Because I thought it was pretty cool. It was my birthday. Everyone got dressed up. You know, it was a good day. But it's been like in April all the time. I'm like, April. I don't like April. March. March is the month. Why does it move around? Because Easter comes on the first Sunday after the ecclesiastical full moon, after the vernal equinox. Everyone say, I got that. No, you don't. Stop lying. See, you're wicked heart. The vernal equinox is March 21st, the first day of spring, which is the day that you have the equal amount of time of darkness and the equal amount of time of daylight. There's two equinoxes in the spring and the fall. When you go from winter to spring and fall to winter, you have the same amount of daytime as nighttime. After that day, after the first full moon, you have one full moon a month. Our months are based on the cycle of the moon, which is God told us in Genesis that's how it should be. Proves God created the heavens and earth. He told us that's why he did it. So the moon has a 30-day, 29-and-a-half-day cycle. If you watch, every month you have a full moon. Every month you have a new moon. A new moon is when you can't see the moon at all. And he says, so after the vernal equinox, the first full moon, the first Sunday after that, that's Easter. Moves around. It's always between March 21st and April 25th, I believe it is. It's always between those 2 days. And what's interesting, on that day, the first fruits was offered as Christ resurrected from the dead. It may be a coincidence, but to me, it's kind of freaky. Number four. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Everyone say Holy Spirit. Say Espiritu Santo. Espiritu. E-S-P-I-R-I-T-U. Espiritu. Santo. Like Santa, but with an O. Santo. Say Espiritu Santo. That's Holy Spirit in Espanol. On Pentecost, the Espiritu Santo came down. Now, think with me. Jesus, oh, this is what I forgot to tell you. On Pentecost, on Passover, when the blood of the Lamb was on the door, you know Jesus died on Pentecost? He was crucified on Passover? You know he was crucified on Passover? In the New Testament? And then he sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost? Oh, he got all his dates figured out. So God said, here are the dates. Passover, Jesus will die on Passover. Unleavened bread, be holy. First fruits, he's going to rise from the dead. Pentecost, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. Oh, God got it coordinated. If you're a Jew and you got all these dates, you're going, wait a minute, how is this stuff happening? It's a coincidence. And he's saying, this is what I'm doing. Then Paul says this is what he did. He didn't just come and make all this stuff up. Look what it says in verse 15. You shall count for yourselves from the day of the Sabbath, that the first fruit Sabbath, where they waved the sheaf. From that day, the sheaf of the wave offering, you shall count 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Everyone say 7 Sabbaths. 7 times 7. Remember 7 is that number? Times 7? Now, 7 times 1 is?
7.
7 times 2 is?
14.
Times 3?
21.
Times 5? 35. Y'all just getting so quiet on me. Y'all like, 25, so carry the 3, and 40, yeah, the 5. Woo! 7 times 5 is 35. 7 times 6 is 42. And 7 times 7 is 49. The day after that is 50. Are you with me? 50. Look what it says in verse 16. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, a Sunday, and you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. Now, 50 days after the resurrection, something going to happen. Pentecost. This is freaky. Now, what they do is they were celebrating the end of the harvest where they gathered in all their grain. Now, rabbis today associate Pentecost with the giving of the law in Exodus. Guess what happened at the giving of the law in Exodus? 3,000 people died. Moses came down with the tablets. He had 3 tablets, 5 each. And he tripped and dropped one. He said, the 10 Commandments. Y'all missed that. It was really funny on the Blazing Saddles. I just, y'all remember? Anybody remember that? Just old people remember that. How many of y'all do not know? Yeah, y'all just too young. It's just good humor. It's good stuff. He came down, and they had built a calf out of their earrings. And they were worshiping the calf, dancing around, saying, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. It's a joke. And make a long story short, God killed 3,000 people. Everyone say 3,000. Now, follow me now. The rabbis say Pentecost is a celebration or memorial of the day the law, everyone say law, was given that 3,000 people died. Say 3,000. Now, why is this so amazing? It's because the Old Testament is all about law, and the law kills. In other words, if you try to obey all the law, you die because you can't. 3,000 people die. What happened on the Pentecost in the book of Acts is that the Holy Spirit was given. The new law was put in your heart. Guess how many people got saved on that day? 3,000. So I'm a Jew. Oh, this is the day that the law was given, and we're going to celebrate the law was given. And all of a sudden, God sends his spirit to be a law within our heart, as he said he would in the Old Testament. I will put my law in your heart. The Holy Spirit comes, and 3,000 people get new life. What a coincidence. God had set it up in the Old Testament. Number six. Number five. I could do 7 times 7. I can't do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Jesus will call us to himself with the sound of a trumpet. Look at verse 23. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel saying, in the 7th month, or there was that 7 again, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be an offering made by fire to the Lord. Blow a trumpet. Trumpets were used to call people to war. Trumpets are used by God to call people to remind them of what their commitment was. When the law was given, it was given at the sound of trumpets. It was called to get people's attention. So if you're in the Old Testament, okay, trumpets, remind me, look up to God, pay attention. Let me read something to you. Matthew 24, verse 31. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Let me read 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. God is going to call us to himself. Da, 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 da. It is time with a trumpet. The Passover lamb, Jesus died on Passover to give us a way out of our sin. Called us to pure heart, and he's the one who purifies our heart. Sends the Holy Spirit. He is the first fruits, the resurrection. He is going to call us with his trumpet. There's two more, by the way. Verse 26. Day of atonement, or at-one-ment. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the 10th day of this 7th month, there's that 7 again, shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. If you remember, who was the first high priest? Say it again.
Aaron.
One more time.
Aaron.
And who? It's easy for you. And who was a great high priest?
Jesus.
That's right. So who's a great high priest?
Jesus.
And Aaron had to go into the Holy of Holies how many times a year?
Once.
And he had to have his own sins what?
Yes.
Very good. Jesus had to die for our sins once and for all. Because he was what less? And his blood was what less? Say sinless. And he offered up his own. His own. Say it again. Say it like you're proud. Okay. And all through the Old Testament, from the 3rd book of Genesis, all through the Passover, Exodus, and Leviticus, and all the sacrifices, in order for you to have forgiveness, you had to shed what? Jesus says, I'm going to do it once and for all. Now it's all done. God just wanted to make sure we got it. The day of at-one-ment or atonement. Atonement means to cover over, or at-one-ment. When your sin is covered over, you become one with God. That's what atonement brings. One-ment, at-one-ment with God is another way of looking at it. Number six. Number seven. Am I in 7? Number 6, I just read it. The Jesus, the high priest, covers over or atones for our sins. We got that? Number 7, our heavenly Father wants to provide a dwelling for you in heaven. Look what it says in verse 33. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this month, the 7th month, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there should be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation and shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Turn to verse 42. Verse 42, it says, you shall dwell in booths. Say booths.
Booths.
I like booths. booze. Say booze. Any ladies saying that? Say, ladies, say booze. Okay. Now let's all say it together. Yeah. What happened to the first time? Y'all ladies were like, get in touch with your masculine side. Verse 43, that your generation may know, I want you to dwell in booths for a week, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them through the land of Egypt. I am the Lord. When they walked for 40 years, they were in booths. They had these little dwellings of leaves and branches to protect them from the sun in the desert. For 40 years, God protected them, provided for them. He was their daddy. That's what he did in the past, but that's what he's going to do in the future. In John 14, verse 1, Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many booths. He doesn't say booths. He says rooms, but dwelling places. And I'm going to go prepare a place for you, just like I did for them. See, everything God promises for you, he already did for somebody else. Everything God promises to do for you, he already did for somebody else. So there's always a track record that he can do it and that he would. Did it for millions. That's a good thing about the Old Testament. You got a problem? I bet you could find that God did it many times over in the New Testament and the Old Testament and the New Testament and in someone you know. So there's no reason for you not to trust him. So all throughout the Old Testament and all throughout the New Testament, he's been forgiving people of their sin, filling them with his Holy Spirit, purifying their hearts, providing for them, protecting for them, and providing, making a provision in heaven for them. So why won't you let him do that for you? You know, when I was doing my eye exam, I'm the worst. If you're a doctor and you don't like get to ask questions, I'm the worst patient. Because I'm like the little five-year-old kid, what's that? What's that? Every little instrument, what's that? And I'm the kind of patient that if I go into the doctor's office, whatever they do to me, I want to do to them. I'm paying, right? So I should have to, you know, so he was looking in my eye. I was like, I want to look in your eye. So I'm looking in his eye. What am I looking for? Ask your doctor. Next time you go, whatever they do to you, ask them, can you do it to them? Whatever you want to do. So I'm asking all these questions about the eye. And I asked this question. I said, is the eye the most advanced camera in the world? He said, well, yes and no. Yes, but it's more than a camera. See, your eye not only takes pictures in color, motion, but it processes the information of the picture before you can even think about what you saw. Think about it. If someone went like this to you, your brain would see that and your brain would tell your body to go, ah! Before your brain knew what happened. See, your brain says, I can't wait for you. You are taking way too long. So we're going over there, and we get over there, and have you ever experienced this? You go, ah! And then you say, after you do that, you say, what happened? Because you don't know. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Your eyes took the picture. Your brain said, we'll get to you later. Legs, arms, move. Mouth, scream. Body, sweat. Heart, start racing. This is all true, factual. Why is that? Because God has programmed us to think ahead of us because we're sinners. Do you know that your heart wants God so bad and you might not think it in your mind? Because you're still thinking you don't need God and your heart's going, no, you need God. This is what you've been looking for all your life. You're a sinner. You know it. We're all going to die. The penalty of sin is death. Jesus died for your sin. There's Old and New Testament validation of that. Jesus rose from the dead. There's Old and New Testament validation of that. Jesus changed his lives. There's Old and New Testament and today evidence of that. And he loves you. Your heart's going, yes, yes. And your mind would be going, eh. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. Don't wait for your brain to catch up. Because the Bible says, by faith you are saved. By faith says, I really might not understand. I merely might not think I'm that bad. But by faith, I'm going to accept God to be right. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you died for us and rose from the dead. And I pray that people this morning would allow you to be their savior. If this morning you would like Jesus to be your savior, you would like him to forgive you, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe you love me. I believe you died for me and rose from the dead. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sin and please come live in my heart. Be my Passover lamb, the first fruits of my future life in heaven. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Purify my soul. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up. And by standing, you are acknowledging that, yes, Jesus Christ is your Savior this morning. That you are acknowledging that you are giving your life to him. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If today you're saying, yes, Lord, please forgive me today, just stand to your feet and acknowledge him in your life this morning, right now. Stand to your feet, acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Stay standing. Good, good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. Very good. Today is the day your heart is saying, please, let's do this. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. Now, as we welcome all of you to the family of God, and as we encourage you in your step of faith, we're going to ask you to step out of your seat and come down to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Who's the man this morning? Who's the man this morning? Come on down. Here we go. Right here. Very good. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Stay right there. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. Stay right there. God bless you. Say hello to her. Amen. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The Bible very, 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 very clearly says if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you. God cannot lie. He can't. And when God forgives, he completely forgets, wipes slate completely clean. It's a concept we cannot understand, cannot accept because we're sinners. Everything's done. He's ready to start over. Amen? He wants to do this amazing thing in your life. The only thing you got to do is obey him. Do what he says. That process is what the Christian walk is all about, doing what God says. We're going to pray for y'all, then we're going to have you walk with that young man in a minute. I want to challenge y'all on a couple things. Two things. Ask God what he wants to purify in your life. Ask God to open the eyes of, be honest with yourself. Look yourself in the mirror. You know what it is. And say, God, I give it to you, the junk in my life. Just one thing. And number two, take that flyer and invite someone to Easter. Start praying for them. Start praying for them. Start praying for them. Every day. 2 weeks. 3 weeks. That's it. Okay, we're going to pray for y'all. Lord, we just pray for these people and we pray you bless them. We pray you radically change their life. And Lord, we pray for all the people who are going to receive these invitations. We pray that you would bless them. And you would touch their heart when they are invited, that they would come. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a right turn and just go follow that.